Time goes so quick when you're having fun. I thought I would hear an amen for that.
Amen.
I guess I'm the only one who gets, you know, excited. And when I'm having fun, time is fly away. Well, within the last few weeks, we have been studying about becoming pals with God. Say amen.
Amen.
And throughout these few weeks, I've told you that God has a great desire in his heart to be your friend. We will continue today becoming pals with God. And today I want to show to you in this scripture a new facet. I told you in the beginning of this study that one of the ways that you can become friends with God is through constant conversation. You remember that? In other words, God wants to be involved in every single aspect of your life. Everything that you do, God wants to be part of it. Then I told you that the second step would be through continual meditation. And what that means, I'm thinking about God's word on a daily basis. Last week I told you that another step to be pals with God is being honest. And I tried to emphasize to you that God is not expecting you to be perfect. He never did. But he does expect you to be honest. We're still together here, right? We don't want to have spiritual cliches. If you're mad at God, tell him that. And he's going to send me lightning, bolting, thunder, and kill me. No, he does that to unbelievers. But his children are encouraged to come boldly before the throne. Can somebody say amen? The writers of the book of Hebrews told us and encouraged us to come boldly before the throne. And when you go to Greek New Testament, the word boldly there, come without fear. Plain, speak plain and honestly. God even encouraged people in the past to be bold, to be straightforward with him. Is that on the Bible? Yes, it is. Psalms 142:2, the New Living Translation put it very well. How people are bold and honest before God. And God is expecting boldness and honesty from you. Psalms 142, verse 2. Listen to this. I pour out my complaint before him and tell him all my troubles. Did you mean that a guy's complaining to God? Yes! And you know what? This fellow is being called a man after God's own heart. Did you mean that he literally complained? Yes, he did. Listen to verse 3. It gets interesting. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemy has trapped me. Set traps for me. This fella here complained before God. God encourages and expects you and I to be honest with him. So what's the next step, preacher? Today I want to show you a very simple thing that you may have heard this a million times, but I guarantee you no preacher ever put in the way that I'm going to put this morning. You and me must choose to obey God in faith. Well, though it comes without saying, really? So why don't you do it? So what do you mean I must choose to obey God in faith? Every time you trust God's wisdom and do whatever he says, even though you don't understand it, you deepen your friendship with God. Did you hear what I said? She's quiet here. I'll say it again. Another way to become closer to God, to become pals with God, is when you and me choose to obey God in faith. And that means that every time God tells you and I to do something, even though it makes no sense and you and I don't understand it, when we do it, that will deepen our relationship with God. Somebody said, well, we don't normally think of obedience as one of the steps towards becoming God's friend. Obedience usually is reserved for relationship with parents, boss, superiors, officers of the law, not a friend. Isn't that right? You speak about obedience, nobody think about being obedient to a friend. You're going to be obedient to the police officer, you get a ticket. Are you with me here? You're going to be obedient to your parents, you get spanked. You're going to be what the federal government tell you to do, or they come and take your house. But friends, yes, every time that you and I obey God in every single situation, although we do not understand and don't make no sense, when we do that, we deepen our friendship with God because we are making a choice to obey and live in faith. When you and I do this, we are telling God that we are trusting in His wisdom to guide our future. We were working in our mother church. Sister Barbara Jerome has been in our church. Little building, 15,000 people sitting. I was the children's pastor. I had 16,000 kids under my leadership. 16,000 children. It was actually 15,999. I was short one child for 16,000 kids. Enjoying life. And one day God said, I want you to get up and go to Suriname. Say, what? I want you to get up and go to Suriname. And I'm thinking, where is Suriname? Is it in Africa? I mean, for you to come specifically at me like this, and you're going to be in the Tutlifo Canal area. Tutlifo Canal. That sounds like French. Tutlifo. Everybody's fault canal. Had no clue what this thing was. So I came home and said, sweetheart, we're going to travel. What? We're leaving. Leaving to what? I think we're going to go to the missionary field again. What? Where are we going? Suriname. Where is Suriname? I don't know. But we're going to go to the Tutlifo Canal. Tutlifo Canal. What is this? I don't know. So we go look on the dictionary, on the map, and we find it's the old Dutch Guyana. No support, nothing. Spoke to my pastor, so we're going to send you guys $300 a month. Are you sure is that enough? The Lord had given a dream, and I met two people from Tutlifo Canal, and they would tell me how much would be the price of rental, food, and a little car. On that vision, I woke up, whoa, I just had a vision. Few weeks later, my projector bulb burned up. I always use projector since the 80s. And after the service, I went to buy a bulb. And before I go to the place where I want to go, the Lord said, I want you to make a left right here, go up on the hill, which I did. When I go to that store over there where I thought there wouldn't be a bulb, right in front of the store, these two men I saw in a vision is coming out of the store. The man from Tutlifo Canal. And the same questions I asked these guys on the dream, I asked them, and they gave me the same answers I had on that vision. So I came to my office, we're leaving. And we left. No houses. Never heard a word in Dutch in my whole entire life. And when I went to look for a place, every single person I tried to talk to, the only thing they would tell me, go to hell. Every time I say, speak English, go to hell. Every single one. So I turned around and said, Lord, I think you made a mistake. Either that or hell is around here somewhere. Because everybody I talk to tell me to go to hell. Finally, I find a waitress, guy serving a restaurant, and he spoke English. Whew, what a relief. So I have to go and eat in that restaurant every day, twice a day, if I want somebody to talk. Well, no avail, came back. Pick up the wife and we left. A year later, we were preaching the gospel at Tootleefel Canal in Dutch. Did you see you never studied Dutch? No, we never did. How did you learn it? Holy Ghost. Every time that you and I trust God in doing something that makes no sense whatsoever, it will deepen our relationship with God, our friendship with God, because we are learning to depend on His wisdom to do what He tells us to do. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
As I said, usually we don't think about obedience when it comes to friends. It defies logic. I know it does. In John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus tells us about the point that I'm trying to make. Can you give me the Never Inspired version? John 15, 14. Listen to these powerful words of Jesus. John 15, 14 on the Never Inspired version. You are my
friends.
If?
Wow.
Nobody never thinks about building up friendship based on obedience, right? But Jesus is saying here, you want to be my friend, boys? Do what I tell you to do. Isn't that something? So in other words, another step towards becoming friends with God is learning to do what He tells you to do, even when you don't understand it. Even when it don't make sense. Why would I do that? Because you trust in God's wisdom to lead you through that task that He has asked you to do. You know, one of the rules that I always use when I'm choosing people to be leaders in the church, I don't want the people that knows everything. I don't want the people that are capable of doing anything. Why? They will always mess up. They will depend on their wisdom. But the folks who don't know much, but are open to be taught by the Holy Spirit, they become the best leaders you can have in a church. 35 years doing this, never failed. Never, ever, ever. So you will deepen your friendship with God when you choose to obey Him in faith, even when you don't understand. Did you know that the word friends here in Greek is the word philos? And the word philos could refer to the friends of a king in a royal palace. While these close friends have a special privilege, they are still subject to the king's rule. Say amen.
Amen.
Despite of the fact of being friends with the king, they need to obey his rules, his commands. And one of the problems that people will have when they say that they need to obey God is because many times people think that being friends is like being equal. It is true on a human level. But with God, He is our friend, but we are not His equals. Did anybody hear what I said? In other words, you're not God. I am not God. Yet God chose to be my friend, but I am not his equal. So one of the conditions to be God's friend is learning to obey God in faith, even when things don't make sense. And now I want to clean your mind from some mess that you have been taught by religion. If you forget everything I'm going to say today, I want you to remember this. God is our loving Father, our loving leader, and therefore we follow him. Did you get that? God is our loving Father. He is our loving leader, and therefore we follow him. Someone may be asking what you're saying. We obey God not out of duty or fear. Say amen.
Amen.
Friendship is important. Obeying God's commands in faith is important because we're not his equal. On the other hand, we obey him not out of fear, not out of duty. We obey him because we love him. Say amen.
Amen.
We obey him because we trust that he knows what is best for us. And this is why obeying him, learning to obey God in faith, is so important. And this is where the people today get the thing all messed up. I do not obey God because I'm scared of him. I obey God because I love him. I don't come to church because if I don't come, lightning will fall and destroy my house. I come to church rather because I love my God, and I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's people. I obey God not because of the punishment that I will get for not obeying. I obey God because I love my lovely Father. Are you with me here? Man, let me tell you this. If every time that you and I disobey, God would strike us, there would be none of us here. And yet the religious people managed to mix the whole thing up. I obey God and I love him and I trust him because he knows what is the best for my life, even when I don't understand. And now get this. If you're taking notes, write down this one. We follow God out of gratitude. Not out of fear. Did you get that? We follow Christ for all he has done for us. And the closer we follow him, the deeper and meaningful our friendship will be. The chosen frozen out there often think that we Bible-believing people obey God out of obligation. I'm not obligated to do anything. Some think that we obey God out of guilt or fear of punishment. But it's exactly the opposite. And if you haven't thought like this, it's time for you to get saved tonight. This morning, rather. Let's go to John 15:9. And let's go to the New Living Translation. Let's make it a little easier for everybody. John 15:9. Watch this. I have loved you,
even as the Father has
Jesus has loved you the same way the Father loved him. So don't get out of my love. Stay right here. You with me yet, right? Now listen to verse 10. When you obey my commandments, that's when you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in your love. In other words, friends of Jesus will learn to obey him in faith. Why? Because he has loved us so much. And he wants us to remain in his love. And our obedience is not conditioned to punishment, rather remaining on his love. You still with me, right? Give me verse 11 here, brother. I have told you this thing so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So we serve God not out of fear or punishment. It's rather a result of a joyful mentality, a joyful mind setting. Are you still with me? And you know what? Jesus expects you and I to do only what he did with the Father. His relationship with his Father is the model for our relationship with him. What do you mean? Jesus did whatever the Father asked him to do, and he did it out of love. If we want to deepen our friendship with God, it's not out of fear or guilt or obligation. It is out of love, because he has loved us first. Did you know that friendship is not something that is passive? Friendship is rather active. What do you mean? It has acts. When Jesus asks us to love others, and we do it, it deepens our friendship with God. When Jesus asks us to share our resources or to keep our life clean, our lives clean, when Jesus asks us to forgive other people, when Jesus asks us to help the needy or bring others to him, love is what motivates us to obey him immediately, not fear of punishment. Are you still with me? I would venture to say that many times God is more pleased when we do small things for him out of love and obedience than when we are challenged to do great things. You with me? Sometimes the little things that you and I do may go unnoticed by others, but God noticed them and considered them acts of worship. Brother Harry, give me up there Hebrews 13:16. I always ask, what do you mean by acts of worship? Then the first thing that came to me was lifting up my hands and praising and this and that and the other. That could be also acts of worship. But when they came across this thing here, give me the Message Bible. When they came across this scripture here, it gave me a new perspective on life. Often we are challenged to do great things to God. But I believe that God gets more delight on the small things that we do for him. People may not notice, but God does. Listen to this. Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship. A different kind of sacrifice. that take place in kitchen, workplace, and on the streets. Did you get that? So what is an act of worship? Is when I choose to obey Him in faith, and I do little things that may go unnoticed to people around me, but God has a computer with a trillion, gazillion gigabytes that is recording all those little things that we do. These are called acts of worship. Why are they called acts of worship? Because I choose to trust God's wisdom in asking me to do this, and I go and I do it, although I don't understand. But I don't have to understand. This is why it's an act of worship. I don't have to understand. I'm doing because my Lord asked me to do that. You know, folks, great opportunities may come once in a lifetime. But you know what? Small opportunities are around us on a daily basis. Little things like telling the truth, encouraging others, being kind. I believe it brings a big smile to God's face. And I am going far enough to say that I believe that God treasures simple little acts of worship, like it is called here, more than cliche prayers and doll offerings. What are you talking about? Give me 1 Samuel 15:22. Again, let's go to the New Living Translation. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Listen to these words. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord? You burn offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to His voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering. Did you get that? So what you're saying, that obedience is a condition to become God's spouse? Yes. Learning, training myself to obey the voice of God, to obey God's commandments, even when it don't make sense. God will take more pleasure on my obedience than any sacrifice that you and I may ever offer to Him. You know, Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
And when He was baptized by John on the Jordan River, Matthew 3:17 tells us that on this ceremony, baptismal ceremony, they had a guest speaker. And that guest speaker was the Father Himself. Give me Matthew 3:17 on the New Living Translation. Listen to this. "And a voice from heaven said,
'This is my dear loved Son, who brings me great joy.'"
Wow. God is saying to John and the whole audience at the Jordan River, when Jesus was taken into the water, the Lord came out on the scene and started preaching. Holy Ghost came upon Him and sat upon Him, and God shouted from heaven, "This is my boy, my dear beloved Son, who brings me great joy." I want you to stay with me here. What was Jesus doing for 30 years that gave so much joy to the Father? The Bible does not say anything about it except what you find in Luke 2:51. Give me Luke 2:51 on the Message Bible. What was Jesus doing for 30 years that led God to say that he brought him great joy. Read it with me. So he went back to Nazareth with them. And Jesus went back to Nazareth with his earthly father and his mother. And the Bible says that during those first 30 years of his life, what Jesus did that caused God to shout from heaven that he was a pleasing child can be summed up in two words. He lived obediently with them. So what you're saying, preacher? You and I need to train ourselves to obey the voice of God, even when it does not make sense. And when you and I do that, we are training ourselves to trust God's wisdom in doing what is best for us. That's a piece of cake. No, it's not. Because the majority of the time, we will want to do what we feel it's right. We want to do what we think is right, what feels good. You know what I mean? And many times that can take us into conflict with God. Real quick, number four. The next step into become friends with God, I must choose to value what God values. In other words, I must choose to agree with God's values. Well, that's kind of empty. What do you mean that I must choose to value what God values? I'll tell you. Friends usually care about what is important to the other person they call friend. Say amen. Amen. Is that true? The more you become God's friend, the more you will care about the things God cares about. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The more you become God's friend, the more you will grieve over the things that God grieves over. The more you become pals with God, the more you will reject the things that God rejects. The more you become friends with God, the more you will rejoice over the things that God rejoices. Brother, give me, please, 2 Corinthians 11:2. So what you're saying, a next step into becoming God's pals is that your agenda will become God's agenda. Listen to this. The thing that has me so upset is that I care about you so much. This is the passion of God burning inside me. You get that? I promise your hand in marriage to Christ presented you as a pure virgin to her husband. I didn't understand. The things that Paul cared about, the agenda of Paul the apostles, was God's agenda. Now give me the New Living Translation here, brother. Watch this. Make it easier. For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. Why? Because I promised you as a pure bride to the one husband, Christ. In other words, the agenda of God became Paul's agenda. The more you come closer to God, the more your agenda becomes God's agenda. David felt the same way. Give me Psalm 69, verse 9, brother, on the New Living Translation. David felt in the same way. What do you mean? What God cares is what you and I will care also. Listen to this. Psalm 69, 9 on the New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Passion for your house has consumed me, and the insults of those who insult you. Did you get that? So what you're saying? What I'm saying here is another way to become friends with God is to care for the things that God cares. One may ask, so, what is it that God cares most about? I could go here with a big list. God cares about the redemption of his people. Is that right? God wants all his lost children to be found. Actually, this is the reason why Jesus came to planet Earth. So this is a dear thing in the heart of God. Listen to John 3:17. I don't want to quote 3:16 because you know that out of heart. I want you to check John 3:17. You know what? Give me the New Living, the New King James. John 3:17. Watch this. For God did not send his Son into the world, but... Isn't that something? The coming of Jesus was not to condemn, but to save the world. This is something that God cares about, and this is something that you and I should be caring about. Now, the New Living Translation has it in a little crazy way. Watch this. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. The backslider translation is interesting. Listen to this. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. So the things that God cares, when you are a friend of God, the closer you get, you will care about the same thing that God cares about. You know, verse 18 is even more interesting. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one of a kind, Son of God, when introduced to him. So what are the things that God cares about? The salvation of mankind. And this is something that you and I should care about a lot. And you know, I believe that God loves when his children tell this good news to their friends. Because I believe to be a friend of God, you must care about all the people around you, just like God cares about them. And I'm going to give you a cliche right now. Friends of God tell their friends about their God. Are you with me here? Yeah. Friends of God tell their friends about their God. So, preacher, what is the conclusion? It's already 12 o'clock. Yes, I know that. I'm watching at the clock. Still have one more point to go with you, but I'm going to stop here. Been told by the Spirit to stop here right now. God wants to be your friend. And he is craving for you. Obedience. even when you don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense. As you deepen your relationship with God, you will learn to care about the things that God cares. Because you become one. I know two sisters from different churches that became very good friends. And they decided to go out once a week. And one introduced the other for a certain type of food that they used to hate before they came together. But seeing that friend eat that food every week, one friend said, you know what, I'm going to try this. And that friend tried, and she liked it. The food was always the same, always had the same taste, but because they were together so often, so constantly, sharing their lives with each other, they learned to like what each other's like in terms of food. Then they start liking colors. And then they start dressing alike. And then they start speaking the same way. Why? The deeper you get to your friend, the more you assimilate the customs, the language, the cares of that person. In order for you and I to get even deeper in our friendship with God, we need to learn to like what God likes. And we need to learn to abhor what He does. Amen? Bow your head with me. Father God, thank you very much for your word. Teach us to obey you, Lord, even when we don't understand. I know that our society, the American society, is a do-it-yourself society. And if we can't figure things out, we usually reject. But Lord, I pray that you may give us a free pass this time, now that they know it. I pray that you may give us the boldness to obey you, even when we don't understand. Even when things don't make sense. But help us to trust that you, who knows everything, knows what you're doing and knows what is best for us. As our friendship grows, Lord, open our eyes to learn, to discern, and to like the things that you like, and to detest the things that you detest. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go straight to the Lord's Supper.